Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I thank God for this wonderful privilege to be here tonight. Oh my, you know, sometimes we don't realize how precious our opportunities are. You know, what we're seeing that we've never seen before, I know it should be an awakening call for all of us to realize how fleeting time is and how things can suddenly change, you know, and we can never say, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you know, with precise exactness, you know, because things in this life are so apt to change. It's subject to the will of God besides. And oh my, we know that, oh God, we need the Lord in all our doings. And He's the one that takes our lives and helps us to know how to live, how to move, how to breathe, how to think. You know, we could do nothing without Him. I'm so glad that we could call upon Him tonight. Praise the Lord that we could be here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. We're so blessed to know the living God, the one that covers us with His blood and who makes a way for us. Praise the Lord Jesus. We're going to begin here by prayer here tonight. Let's come together with the Lord in prayer here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You that all things are subject unto Thee, Lord. We come to You, Lord, as a needy people, Lord. Oh, God, as a people that could do nothing without You, Lord. Oh, God, we realize, oh, God, our weaknesses and our frailties. Oh, God, our great needs of Thee, Lord Jesus. And, oh, Lord, I pray that You would intervene, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, You would touch, Lord. Oh, God, this circumstance here, even in Beaver Dam, Lord, have mercy, we ask, Lord Jesus. Have mercy, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You would talk. Oh, Lord, that You would have mercy, Lord. And, oh, God, that You'd put this to flight. Oh, God, we need You, Jesus. I pray that You'd work in our hearts and our lives. Oh, God, that You'd change these things. Oh, God, we thank You for the opportunities we've had, the great privileges in Thee. Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to have faith, Lord. Oh, God, teach us how to grab a hold of Thy promises. Oh, God, help us to be determined, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that nothing would move us, nothing would shake us, that our faith would be strong. Oh, Lord, oh, God, for Thou art our mighty tower. You are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our coming King, Lord Jesus. And oh God, how we need You, Lord. I pray that You minister to every heart tonight. God, You know the needs of Your people, Lord. And I pray that You'd reach down to touch, to move, to change, to heal, Lord, to save. Oh, Lord, God, to deliver. Oh, God, Thou knowest how to do all things. Oh, God, and I pray that You would move here tonight. Pray that You'd use this message. Oh, God, that You'd give us what we have need of. Oh, Lord, oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You'd give me words and help me, Lord. Oh, God, be here, Lord, to inspire. Oh, God, to anoint. Oh, God, to arrest our attention, to draw us close to Thee. Oh God, to help us to realize our great need of Thee, Lord. Oh God, our great need to come before Thee, Lord, and to rest in Thy promises. Oh God, we need You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh God, use this message, I ask, oh Lord, that the devil be put to flight. Oh God, that there be no hindrances in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that You'd work in every heart, every life, every circumstance. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that You give me the words and help me, Lord, to know where to go in the Scripture. Oh Lord, I give this over to You, Lord. I ask You to work in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think we all know that these are times like we've never seen before. And oh my, just the fact that, you know, the court would gather to determine, you know, these circumstances and how we need the Lord, how we need His help, how we need His direction. You know, I'm understanding from things I hear, and you just hear everything. You know, there's so much confusion behind all of this. But, you know, there's so many thoughts. And many people don't think this COVID-19 is going to go away easily. And we know as all of this is upon us at this time. You know, you just hear so much, and there's those opportunists. And of course, there's, you know, a great, you know, question of how this even came about. And I think, oh my, it was quite deliberate in many ways, because, oh my, there are so many. The devil is driving at this moment to bring about his one world. You could just see that spirit. And there is quite a move at this time in so many ways. I know Samuel wrote about former Prime Minister in Great Britain, Gordon Brown, how he is calling for a creation of a temporary form of global government to tackle this coronavirus. And oh yes, Henry Kissinger declaring that this COVID-19 is a pandemic that will forever alter the world order. And oh yes, I heard a rumor, and I don't know, we'll have to see how this develops, if it does, that the Pope next week on the 14th, I believe, is planning to give a speech that will call for the union of religions. And, you know, this one, I wouldn't be too surprised over this. We've seen how this Pope has gone in that direction for a long time. But, oh my, we are living in perilous times. We are living in the book of Revelation, and I believe we're just beginning to see what the Lord is doing and oh, what is coming to pass upon this earth. But praise the Lord, we know one thing. One day our God will come and will not tarry. One day this is going to be over. One day God is going to say, it is enough. I've had it. You know, it's gone to the full. The cup has run over. Oh, yes, and God is going to set forth to judge this world in righteousness. And yes, together, his people. Praise the Lord from all ends of the earth. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I got thinking about that yesterday. And you know the thought that we shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We're going to hail that blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Praise the Lord, our King is coming. Praise the Lord, he's going to come one of these days. And every eye is going to see him. Praise the Lord, it's going to be a great shock. It's going to be a great surprise to so many people. But oh my, there are people, those that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? Praise the Lord, there are people that are looking for him. Just as there were a few that were looking for Jesus to come the first time, there are a few, Anna and Simeon, and I'm sure Mary, Joseph were among those that feared God and were looking for that promise. But so many, it seemed, were not expecting him. And so many, even though he did wondrous, mighty works in their midst, could not recognize him and know him as the Messiah, as the Christ. But praise the Lord, I thank God, oh my, what he puts in our hearts. That hope that's deep within our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord, that hope that no man can take away. Praise the Lord, that hope that our God is going to come and judge this world in righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, these are times of great confusion. And you know the perplexity that we're seeing, all these times of great debate and wonderment. And oh, you could just, oh my, it's such a conflict. And you know, as it tells us in Jeremiah, the 51st chapter, it tells us how the nations have drunken of her wine, you know, and therefore the nations are mad. Oh my, oh yes, the devil has overwhelmed them. Oh, he's stirred their hearts, and oh, they're all, so many of them are going in that direction where they're looking for somebody, an antichrist, to direct their path and to take them out of the confusion of this world. Oh, my. But praise the Lord has a people that he has reserved for himself. And there's a call that comes forth. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Oh, yes, that cry that comes forth. And praise the Lord, I believe that God is calling forth His people. He's getting His people ready. He's got a remnant. He's got a people that He has reserved for Himself. I'll tell you what, there could be no greater privilege than to be one of God's children, to be one of His people, to be of that remnant, a people that, oh yes, God has reserved for Himself. Praise the Lord, oh, our mighty God, the one that we serve. In the midst of it, I'm so glad for people with faith. I know I was talking to Brother Darrell Dinger a couple days ago, and, you know, he was telling me he was in a store, and most everybody was wearing a mask. And I know that's quite a debatable thing in many ways, but he wasn't wearing one. And this woman was looking at him, and she said, "Well, where's your mask?" And Darrell replied, "I have it on." And she said, "You do not. Where's your mask?" And he says, "I have it on. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm holding on to Psalms 91. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I know. I pray that too. And, oh, yes, I go to the stores. Lord, let your blood be upon me. Oh, yes, cover me with your blood, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's a great privilege that we have as the children of God. Oh, yes, and we know we can claim the promises of Psalms 91 and, oh, claim that, oh, no pestilence would come near, nigh our dwelling. Praise the Lord, that the Lord would keep us in all our ways. And oh yes, in spite of everything that's going on in this world, that we would be in His pavilion, in that place of refuge, in that place of safety. Praise the Lord that we'd be covered by His wings. Praise the Lord, under the shelter of His wings. Praise the Lord. You know, I took a walk a couple days ago. Actually, I went down by one of the parks, Edgewater Park, and, you know, just kind of, you know, looking around, just walking and, you know, just kind of just enjoying the breezes and the lake and everything else, the wildlife. And lo and behold, there was a geese family. First, they were in the water, and you know, one of the elder birds, either the male or the female, was leading. And then there were these little goslings in between, and then the other bird was in the rear. And it was so neat, I thought. And then a little later, I saw them there on the shore. And oh boy. Here I saw it. Here, obviously, I would say it was the female, and the little goslings were under her. And the father bird was standing there guard, just, you know, standing there. You knew you should not get too close. He'd hissed, I'm sure. But anyway, there they were. And, you know, I just thought of, you know, what God has put within His creatures there. You know, the father bird standing guard there, and the mother there to protect the little ones. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we serve a mighty God. And He's with us. He said He would be with us until the end of the world. He's talked about how He would deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He would cover us with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust, as it tells us in that beautiful 91st Psalm. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Oh, praise the Lord. What a privileged people we are. What a privileged people we are to know that, oh yes, we have refuge in our God. Oh yes, He's holding us up. He's going to keep us. He knows how to protect us. He knows, oh yes, how to hold us. Oh yes, close. And oh yes, prevent all the evil from befalling us. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it was World War I where... The American soldiers who were in the 91st Regiment there prayed this psalm, Psalm 91, every day. And it was a wonderful thing because not one of them died or perished in that conflict. The Lord kept every one of them. You know, around them, others were falling, but everyone there in that group were held in safety. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be able to put our faith and trust in God. Oh, praise the Lord. He's going to be with us. He's going to keep us. He knows the end from the beginning. And praise the Lord, He's working in a mighty way. Praise the Lord. In spite of everything that's confusing and upsetting and hard to understand, our God is with us. Praise the Lord. We are going to go to Isaiah. Tonight I'm going to call this God's Strange Work. And we will turn now to Isaiah chapter 28. Praise the Lord. We've been to this chapter other times, but oh my, I just can't seem to get away from Isaiah 28 lately. So praise the Lord. Let's see how God will use this chapter. I think it's quite an amazing chapter in so many ways. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Isaiah chapter 28. Praise the Lord. It begins verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. So let's just look at this first verse here for a moment. You know, again, woe to the crown of pride. And you know, oh, pride is something that leads people into great destruction. And you know, we know we have to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, before He will exalt us in due time. And pride leads so many into the wrong way, into destruction. And here, obviously, he's addressing the crown of pride, those that walk in this way, in pride. And then it says, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. And so, yes, it's referring to these people of Israel. And Ephraim eventually came to represent the whole 10 tribes of northern Israel. They became predominant after a while. And so I believe this would encompass the 10 northern tribes. And here it says, to the drunkards, particularly. And it remarks here, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. In other words, the time of their glory is past. It's, you know, they're fading at this moment. That's being addressed here. It's as a fading flower. And then it says, which are on the head of the fat bellies of them that are overcome with wine. Oh my, so there's a lot here. Which are on the head. So I believe it's referring to those that are leading the people, the overseers, those that are in charge. And it says, of the fat. Fat here, I would say, would mean fruitful bellies. Of them that are overcome with wine. Well, there's something to know with wine. That, you know, if you're so led, if you're a drunkard, that you're not going to have discernment. You're not going to be able to discern rightly between that which is good and that which is evil. And, you know, it's going to be all over the place in your thinking. And, you know, you might think you're walking out of the water. And in fact, be drunk. But you know, that's not a good state to be in by any means. But this is how this first verse goes forth, and this is how it addresses the people that are under consideration here. It says in the second verse, behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one. which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with a hand. And I think this is interesting. I think this verse comes out a little bit more as the chapter continues. But here it talks about the Lord. Oh, who hath a mighty and a strong one, who comes forth in judgment, obviously, as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, and as a flood of mighty waters overflowing that shall suddenly do his work, his strange work, with swift judgment, suddenly shall cast down to the earth with a hand. And then it refers again, as we read in the first verse, the crown of pride. The drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet. In other words, they're going to be brought down. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be smashed. And this is God's revenge. Oh, yes, his revenge on a people that had not given heed, who had not walked in his ways, who had not followed after his judgment. Oh, yes, who'd gone astray, in other words. Verse 4 tells us, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat belly shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. So, you know, it's there and then it's gone, you know. It's consumed quickly, you know. There it was. But then it's gone. And so not is it only a fading flower, but it's like a hasty fruit that someone picks and, oh my, instead of putting it in a bucket to, you know, take home and you know, use later, you know, it's consumed immediately. Verse 5 goes on to say, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. See, now, in spite of everything that went wrong with old Israel, and even the southern kingdoms also, God always has had a people, a residue of his people, a remnant of his people that, you know, that, hold on. Oh, you know, that just in spite of everything that's going on, you know, I shall not be moved, as we sang tonight. You know, they hang on to God's word. They hang on to faith. They believe God even when the winds are raging and the waves are getting into the boat, so to speak. So now it's talking about that day in spite of those that discard God's word and oh yes, go and partake of the evils of this world, considered drunkards, oh yes, who've gone terribly astray. In spite of that, there's a people to which the Lord of hosts shall be for a crown of glory. Oh, something, oh, that is a pride in the Lord's eyes. A crown of glory for a diadem. Oh, yes, like a royal crown or a crown-like ornament. A headband that encases the crown. And that's, yeah, something of beauty that God is using to illustrate his people that hold on to his ways, the residue of his people. And it says in verse 6, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. And I think this is interesting too. You know, it's all, you know, there's a spirit of judgment, and God hates it when there is no judgment, and when wrong is right, and right is wrong. You know, the way that, you know, people often think, even in the world that we live today. But oh my, there's a spirit of righteous judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and all that strength that he gives to his people to them that turn the battle to the gate. And I think this is kind of a neat way that he put it. You know, those that all resist the devil, that draw nigh to God. You know, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee, as it tells us in James, the 4th chapter, verse 7. But you know, here it's talking about them that turn the battle to the gate. In other words, there's a resistance. I'm going to keep the enemy out. He's not going to get in. I'm going to resist with all my might and with all my spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. God has a strength for them that turn the battle to the gate. Oh, yes, that don't let the enemy prevail. Of course, we're applying this spiritually. Oh, yes, we don't want the devil to have a foothold in our lives. Oh, no, we want to turn him about. You know, we don't want him to rule and reign in our lives, do we? Oh, praise the Lord. No, thank God. We can resist the devil and know that he will flee. We can draw nigh to God and know that he will draw nigh unto us. Praise the Lord. What a wonder it is. But then it talks about, oh yes, the rebellious ones. Verse 7, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. Oh, what a delusion that is. How it gets so many people, oh yes, to be contrary to the things that are true, the things that are right. It says, they are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. And I believe that's a world that we live in right now, a world where they do call evil good and good evil. Oh, yes, they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. All those things that are contrary and just, you know, so wrong. They put, you know, the unclean for the clean. And so it is. The judgment is impaired. It's wrong. There's no discernment. And even the priest and the prophet, it says, have erred through strong drink. They've drank of that cup from the devil. Oh, that cup of iniquity. They've been partakers. Oh, yes. In all that the devil has promoted. And therefore, at this point, they have no discernment. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Oh, I believe that would be a description of the day that we live in. It says in verse 8, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Oh, it's disgusting. It's filthy. And that's how God sees it. Oh, yes, vomit all over the place and filthiness all over the place. Of course, God looks on the heart. He doesn't judge as man judges. He sees deep inside. He knows when it's genuine and he knows when it's hypocrisy. And there's no fooling Almighty God. Oh, yes, and that's how he sees the delusion of man when there's no discernment. And oh, yes, when they followed the ways of the devil, when they have partaken of that cup of Babylon and consumed it and swallowed it and, oh, yes, promoted it. Oh, all their tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Who would want to be in a place like that? Then verse 9 goes on to ask a question. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? You know, that could be a good question when you see so many that are fallen, so many that are leaning in the wrong way, so many that have compromised and you know, have drank, as we just said, of the cup of Babylon and err, therefore, in vision and stumble in judgment. Okay, question. Whom shall we teach knowledge? And whom shall we make to understand doctrine? And it says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Oh, praise the Lord, that weaning process indicates some growth, some maturity. Praise the Lord. And it goes on to say, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And that's how the Word of God is. Oh yes, if we're on that solid rock, if our hope, our trust, our life is built on that solid rock, it's built upon the precepts of God's Word. And here it is, the foundation was laid. Oh yes, from the beginning. And the prophets, oh yes, declared it. Those that walked with the Lord helped to lay those precepts as they followed the living God. And that's how it must be. It had to follow upon the precepts that God gave and upon the lines that He gave, one built upon another until it all came to the full, until, oh yes, it was complete. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Praise the Lord, it was all laid out so that fullness of time would come and Jesus Christ would come into the world to redeem us, to save us. And yes, here a little and there a little, oh yes, the prophets of God, they spoke forth the words that they were given as the Lord gave it unto them. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, as the Spirit of God would come upon them and they would be able to utter it and declare it. Praise the Lord. But all apart in this laying forth the groundwork that was absolutely essential to be built, to be established in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. And it says in verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Oh my, what a wonder it is. All that groundwork that was laid, Jesus Christ coming into the world. Oh, can you just hear Him as He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Oh, as it declares in Matthew, the 11th chapter, praise the Lord, verses 28 through 30. Praise the Lord, Jesus came unto this world. Oh, yes, He was going to bring forth a rest. And here's that call forth to all that would come unto Him. Oh, and let Him take those burdens. Oh, let Him, oh, ye be, oh, take that yoke and put it upon Himself, so that He would carry that load for us. He would carry our burdens. Oh yes, He would bring forth a rest. Praise the Lord, a rest where, oh yes, we could come to Him in faith and let Him take our lives. Oh yes, let Him fulfill His will in our lives. Let Him take us so that, oh yes, we can be filled with His Spirit. Oh, so that we can be led by the Spirit of God, so that we can be His sons and daughters. Praise the Lord, the rest that He gave for His people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the fulfillment. Oh, yes, may we bring forth a rest. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people, to whom He said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. And yes, we know That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. He had told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry, wait until they be endued with power from on high. Oh yes, to be endued means to be covered, to be clothed with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. That's what Pentecost was all about. He told them to go and wait. I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. As Joel prophesied in that second chapter of the book of Joel. Praise the Lord. Oh, that was the outpouring of His Spirit upon His people. That was the rest wherewith He may cause the weary to rest. And that was the refreshing. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. As He came upon them on that day of Pentecost, that sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting, and that appearance of cloven tongues like as a fire upon them that sat upon each of them. And yes, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. Oh, the fulfillment of that promise. I'm going to send forth my Spirit. I've got a rest for you. I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. Yes, the Holy Ghost would come upon the prophets of old, and they would prophesy. But praise the Lord, He has said, yes, in that 14th chapter of the book of John, oh, He said, John 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. He wouldn't just come upon His people and anoint them, oh yes, to do that work, particularly for that moment. But He would come as another Comforter to abide with His people forever, to live, to reside in the hearts of His people. Praise the Lord. And He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful plan of our God. Praise the Lord. And here Isaiah was prophesying of such a moment. Oh, yes, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, all building it up. Oh, yes, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people to whom He said, this is a rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Oh, praise the Lord, that renewal from God, that breath of His Spirit, oh, so that He would dwell in us, so that He'd lead us. He would not leave us comfortless. Oh, praise the Lord, but He'd come unto us. Praise the Lord, even unto us at the end of the world. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you know, this 12th verse in Isaiah 28, it declares all of this. But then that very end clause says, yet they would not hear. And I'll tell you what, this is still a point of contention in this world that we live. So many people don't want this rest. They want to go so far with God, but, you know, they stop short. They don't want that rest. You know, it seems too foreign, it seems too strange, or whatever. They don't want to be a spectacle, but oh my, it's a wonderful blessing from the Lord. Oh, that promise of the Holy Ghost that Peter declared on the day of Pentecost. Oh yes, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. The last days I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord, it had been prophesied, and so it happened. And yes, Peter declared to them on that day when they asked, men and brethren, what must we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And yes, He said, this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. That takes us to the end of the world. Praise the Lord. If the Lord is still calling, He's still filling His people with the rest, with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the Comforter. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. But it says, again, yet they would not hear. Verse 13 tells us, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. In other words, they didn't get it. They didn't receive it. They didn't want it. You know, they go the other way. They fall backward. They're broken. They're snared. And it says they're taken. Oh, not a good thing by any means. So the scripture continues here in this chapter, verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. So now he's addressing those at Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Oh my. Now this is something I'll say. Does it speak of the time that we live in today? How many people have made a covenant with death and with hell? Are we at agreement? And with this thought, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. No, our refuge is in lies. And under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Oh, I think, oh my. Indeed, I believe we live in a time where there are people, elitists, who think that they're going to escape the wrath of God. They think they can make these mandates and demand them of the people and declare all of this, you know, kill off the masses with their man-made viruses, take away freedoms, bring down the money system. Bring about their vaccines. Band gatherings. All these things. Oh yes, this push that we're seeing right now. The infamous Bill Gates who wants vaccines for all. All the rumors we hear right now of such a thing coming to pass. I heard that, you know. Oh yes. You know, he would not, and I don't know, again, I've said this, Samuel said this, we are asking this, who is this Bill Gates? Who is he to say that, you know, there's going to be this vaccine and we won't make it mandatory for everyone to take it, but, you know, if you don't take it, then you can't go anywhere. You have to stay at home, in other words. Oh, yeah, and how would they know? You know, what do they plan? How to, bring this about? What would they put into that vaccine so that they could tell, you know, who wandered away and who did this and who did that, who went here or who went there? And besides that, you know, there's a push. Oh, yes, you put GMOs in all the small farmers' food supply around the world. I got to increase it, you know, and Bill Gates is all promoting that, as well as, you know, $15 million that, you know, he's advocated or put aside or to, you know, for such a cause. He's allocated, rather, to, you know, for such a cause. So, you know, we are seeing things. And it just seems that, oh my, there are people living under that pretense right now, thinking, oh yes, we've made our covenant with death and with how we are at agreement, you know, and somewhat literally, you know, made a vow with the devil, given their souls over to the devil, literally. And yes, when all of this happens, the overflowing scourge passes through, it's not going to come unto us, you know, because we're going to be hidden in our lives, you know. They're going to be our refuge, and, you know, we're going to hide under our pretense, under our falsehood. But oh, praise the Lord, there's a God in heaven. And he is in charge of the affairs of this world. Praise the Lord. He sees it all. And yes, oh, he's doing a work. He hasn't forgotten his people. He knows very well what's going on. Praise the Lord. He tells us in verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Oh, there's not going to be regrets. Oh, how I want to build on that foundation that the Lord, oh yes, has built for his people. Oh yes, that foundation that's built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh yes, so when the storms of life begin to blow, to be tempestuous, oh yes, to hit, our lives are secure on that solid hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, that solid rock. Oh yes, that foundation, that tried stone, that precious cornerstone, that sure foundation. Oh, praise the Lord. We have refuge in the Lord. Oh, yes, we have security in our God. Oh, we have found a way that leads us unto everlasting life. And praise the Lord, it's tried, it's precious, it's sure. And oh, yes. Oh, yes. He that believeth shall not make haste. There's not going to be any regrets to those that have laid their lives upon that true foundation. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Verse 17 goes on to say, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding places. This place where those that live in pretense, who've made that covenant with death and in agreement with hell, the Lord is, yes, going to sweep away that refuge of lies. Oh, if that's your hiding place, it's not going to stand. Oh, yes, the tempest blows and everything else comes to pass upon this earth. It will not stand. It will fall. Oh, yes, God's ways, his judgment, it's laid to the line, his righteousness, the plummet, it's exacting, it's sure, it's going to stand, and the rest, all the hail. And yes, it talked about that hail, that tempest of hail in that second verse. The Lord hath a mighty and strong wind, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with a hand. Oh, yes. God's judgment, his forthcoming judgment. Oh, that is exacting. That is precise. Oh, yes, that is true. Laid to the line. Oh, to the plummet. Oh, exactly as it will be. Exactly as it has been. Praise the Lord. That refuge of lies shall be swept away. That hail shall take care of it. The water shall overflow the hiding places. It tells us in verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Oh my, yes, that is a certainty. Oh, it's going to be disannulled. It's going to be completely canceled and nullified. Oh, yes, there's going to be a no surety with what they have attempted to do. Those that follow the course of the devil. Oh, yes, and work. Oh, yes, to promote the beast system. The advancement of a one world government, all of that is going to fall. Oh, and that agreement with hell shall not stand. Your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then ye shall be trodden down by it. Oh, yes, that is a surety. Praise the Lord. I like how it tells us in Isaiah 26, and I was here a couple, two, 3 weeks ago. It says in verse 20 here, Isaiah 26, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and so shall no more cover her slain." Oh my, all the heinous activities of mankind, all the things that they've done, all in their secret places, in their underground tunnels, and all their places where they thought they were hiding, all the despicable, horrendous things that they have done shall be disclosed. Oh yes, the Lord has seen it all, and none of it has been hidden from Him. The earth also bears witness. Praise the Lord, the earth also shall disclose her blood. Oh yes, and shall no more cover her slain. Oh yes, it's all come to the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Yes, it's all come to His attention. He knows every single bit. And yes, that time will come when, oh yes, all of that shall be trodden down. Yes, it goes on here in Isaiah 28 to tell us in verse 19, "From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report." Seems like this is talking about major confusion. Something that doesn't end, something that goes on day and by night. And only a vexation, only to understand the report. Tell you what, we are living in such confusion right now. Oh yes, it seems that there's one subject in the media continuously these last weeks. COVID-19, continually on the news, continually in the thoughts, in the minds. Oh, in front of everybody, and you know what to do, the confusion. One person says, do it this way, another says, do it that way. And, you know, it's you know, some are saying, you know, we've got to have a vaccine, and some say, you know, we've got to build immunity, natural immunity in our lives so that we can withstand it. And there's major confusion in this world, and not only is it here in this country, but it's worldwide. Isn't that something? What's going on? And if you know, some saying it's not going to be over soon, and this and that, it could drag on and on and on and on. So here we have, a vexation, a distress, even to try to understand the report. It tells us in verse 20, For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow than that he can wrap himself in. Well, that would not be fun to, you know, be in a bed that's shorter than you are, and so you can't really be comfortable. You can't really stretch yourself out, and besides, you don't have a covering to cover yourself. It's too narrow, it's too little, a baby blanket or something that you can't fully wrap yourself in. But then it goes on to say in verse 21, "For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. O our God, who is in the midst of his people, our God who said he would never leave us nor forsake us, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." And oh my, here it says, this shall all be like on to that moment when the Lord rose up in Mount Perazim. And I believe this indicates the place where David defeated Goliath. Then it says, it's likening it unto that time when God was wroth as in the valley of Gibeon. And, you know, we'll get there, I hope, in a minute here. You know, it says that he may do his work. You know, we know God's ways are not our ways. You know, you just don't guess how God is going to do his work. And we do guess at times. You know, we try to anyway to figure it out. You know, I think he'll answer this way or that way. And, you know, we have expectations perhaps in that direction. But God knows how to do it his way. And his ways are higher than our ways. And he knows the end from the beginning and all the little things in between. And he knows how to put things in an order to bring about his will. And so he's talking about the Lord rising up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Let's look at this valley of Gibeon instance here. You will turn with me to Joshua chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 10. This is quite a story. This is quite a story indeed. Here as it talks about this strange act that God did here. And we read about how, well, there was a time that if Joshua had taken the children of Israel into Canaan land, and yes, they were told that they needed to destroy those that lived in Canaan because of their filthy backgrounds and deeds and all. And anyway, you know, the enemy had seen what happened at Ai. The enemy had seen what happened at Jericho. And there were a certain group of them, inhabitants of Gibeon, that saw what had happened in Ai and in Jericho, and they thought, we better make peace with them. And they thought of a very clever scheme to make peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. And praise the Lord, it worked. Yeah, they came there as people that had traveled a long, long distance. And, you know, they made as if they, you know, were strangers from, you know, a long ways off. And they were believed. And Joshua and the children of Israel made a league with them. And later they discovered, well, these Gibeonites actually lived right there, in, you know, among them in the land of Canaan. But, you know, they had made this league and they were to stand by it. And so it is here in this 10th chapter that the others that surrounded them, you know, realized, you know, this that had happened. Gibeon was a great city, it tells us in verse 2, as one of the royal cities. It was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. So therefore, several of the kings that surrounded them in that area decided to go to war against the Gibeonites. And yeah, it names, oh, in verse 5, those that would come against them. Verse 5 says here in Joshua, the 10th chapter, therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts in the camp before Gibeon, and made war against them. Now, the men of Gibeon, when they realize what is happening, they're going to send to Joshua. It tells us in verse 6, and the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from my servants. Come up to us quickly and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So, you know, here it is. They, you know, made a league together. And, you know, God happily promoted it in his own way. God does amazing things. It's not always like we would perceive or think. It says in verse 7, so Joshua sent it from Gilgal. He and all the people war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. See, you can imagine, as you know here, these men of Gibeon come before Joshua. You can imagine. I mean, you know, we're limited too. So it is. And you know, my, here are all these five kings, the Amorites, and the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, and the king of Jarmuth, and, you know, Lachish, and king of Eglon, and all, you know, all gathered together against them. Oh, Lord, what now do we do? You can imagine Joshua wondered, oh my, now what have I done? You know, I made an agreement with these Gibeonites, and now I have to defend them. But look at the Lord, help them mightily. It says in verse 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Oh, what encouraging words. Oh, God strengthening them and telling him not to fear, because they're already delivered into thine hand. So it tells us in verse 9, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night, a surprise attack, I would say. And look what God did. It says in verse 10, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Look how God fought for them. Praise the Lord. He cast down great stones from heaven upon the enemy, and they died. And more died from the hailstones that God sent down than those that were slain by the children of Israel. And then, besides this, look what happened on this amazing day. Verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day which the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And praise the Lord, God hearkened to the voice of that man. He hearkened to the voice of Joshua. Praise the Lord. Just feet. Can you imagine? He commanded the sun to stand still upon Gibeon. Oh yes, there was more work that had to be done. Praise the Lord. They needed just a little more light. Oh yes. And he commanded the sun to stand still and the moon in the valley of Ajalon. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 13, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. God gave him practically a whole day, praise the Lord, to finish the work that had been begun. Praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God, an amazing God, and you just never know how he's going to answer. Praise the Lord. Oh, the amazing ways that God answers. And it tells us in verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. We know if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to serve the living God, to be his children. Oh, praise the Lord. We've got a God who all works in impossibilities. Oh, yes, a God. Oh, yes, who does according to his will. And there is nothing too hard for him. Oh, praise the Lord. A God that even hearkens to the voice of his children. When we cry out, oh, he hears our cries. He knows our needs. Oh, yes, he sees those tears. Oh, yes, he knows our troubles. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, as it tells us here in Isaiah 28, verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act. His strange act. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is with us. He knows the trouble that we are in right now. And he knows how to intervene. Yes, we know that God's will be done. And if, oh yes, this is all part of his plan to bring the end into finality, then so will it be. Praise the Lord. Because yes, those that oppose God, those that walk in their own rebellious ways and fear not God, their day is coming. And yes, God knows how to use what they are doing to bring about his will. Praise the Lord. We know, yes, in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, where it tells us, verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with a beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and King of kings, And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Praise the Lord. Oh, our Lord is coming back. Oh, yes, he's coming to judge this world in righteousness. And he has to gather his people, his elect. Oh, he has to call us unto himself to make an end to the conflict. Oh, all the turmoil that sin has caused in this world. It says in verse 15 here, Revelation 17, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, unto the words of God shall be fulfilled. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Lord is coming back. He is going to come and not tarry. And oh, there is going to be an end to this turmoil, to this confusion, to this strife. Oh, all the horrendous things that have been committed on this earth. Oh, yes, he is going to come. As it declares in Revelation 22, verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's all according to what God allows. Everything is in his hands. He is in charge of the affairs of this world. And praise the Lord. Yes, as it tells us in Isaiah 28, that 21st verse. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth. Oh, he shall be very angry as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God. Oh, yes, who is in charge? We can put our hope in him. Oh, how we need to build our house upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, how we need to be built on that firm foundation. How our lives need to be embedded, built upon the words of life, the Word of God. Oh, praise the Lord. We still have moments to serve him, but these are serious moments. Oh, these are moments before the coming of the Lord. And one of these days, our Lord will come and will not tarry. Oh, praise the Lord. I opened up to this scripture last night as I was thinking on this portion of scripture and the coming of the Lord. Ezekiel 12, just to read a short portion here, verse 22. It says, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision, or in other words, the fulfillment of every vision. Tell you what, the day of the Lord is at hand. Praise the Lord. We don't know the day or the hour, but oh, we want to be like unto them that are watching and waiting for their Lord to return, to who are occupying until he comes, whose hearts are given over to the living God. And are not living in pretense, not pretending, but all have fully committed their lives, their strength unto God, and are living, oh yes, according to his will. Oh, praise the Lord, so that when our Lord cometh, we can open immediately up unto him. Oh, yes, and oh, he can take us to that land where, oh, yes, a night will never fall. Oh, yes, oh, with sin will never, oh, be a situation. But, oh, yes, that wonderful place that he has prepared for his people. Oh yes, he's bringing it to pass. His strange work. Oh yes, the work that he has ordained, the work that he has set forth to do, that will be brought forth, that work, his strange work that he will bring to pass, that act, his strange act. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad we have moments right now to trust in the living God, to conform to his will. Oh, yes, to let him transform us and to make us new creatures, to fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. We have moments. Well, he yet stands at the door and knocks. Praise the Lord. Have you let him in? Have you let him into your heart? Are you living, oh, yes, under his wings? Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you, Jesus. We ask that you would work in every heart and every life. Oh, God, that you would, oh, God, give us that hope, Lord. For, oh, Lord, you will bring it to pass. Thy divine will. Oh, yes. Thy strange work. Oh, yes. Oh, God, as you fulfill your plan and your purpose in this world that we live in today. Thank you, Jesus, for these words of life. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Oh, thank you for the hope that's within us. Oh, Lord, move in us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise God. In closing, we're going to turn our hymnals, our Melodies of Praise hymnals, number 195, and sing We Shall See the King, number 195. A blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, we shall see the King when he comes. His coming in power will hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. His coming in power will hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, We shall see the King when He comes. His coming in power will hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Praise the Lord Jesus. God bless you all. Stay safe. Praise the Lord.